Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Labor Minister Andrew Little has been busy pushing through a lot of admin in the last few days, which means, I suppose, luckily for him, there wasn't a lot of keeping the government to account that I could do this week. But we are talking about a few interesting things. We're talking Pike River re-entry, specialist courts, and also about a new review of the Evidence Act that has just been tabled at Parliament. Have a listen. Thank you so much, as always, for speaking with us. How's your week been? Has it been busy?
It has been busy, yeah. The sort of routine stuff, but a lot of just trying to push various things along that haven't hit the public eye yet. So, yes, it has been busy.
I seem to get emails or press releases from you pretty much every day with different portfolios, and it's just so amazing to me how many different hats that ministers can wear.
I have a few, I regard them as reasonably self-reinforcing. So you've got justice and courts obviously stand together. I have the Treaty of Waitangi negotiations, which is kind of a question of justice as far as I'm concerned, of the spy agencies. Human rights issues arise in relation to that, so I find that kind of as a good complement to it all. And then there's Pike River, the Pike River project, which I think is an act of justice as well. So there's a consistent theme to them all, but it certainly keeps you on your toes trying to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, I can imagine, but that certainly does make sense to me how they're all connected. And it moves me on exactly to what I want to talk about first, which was Pike River re-entry. There's been some developments this week.
Yeah, we've sort of looked at the preparation for the actual re-entry are now well progressed. So we've been able to set a date when the time when actually underground crew will get past the 30-metre mark and into the drift in a way that we haven't been before. That's now set down for the 3rd of May. So a lot of preparation has happened. There's still a wee bit more to go. There's some equipment to arrive from Australia, which will arrive during April. But all of that final preparatory work will be done by the end of April, and we'll be ready to remove that 30-metre seal and get guys in there. And we'll have a bit of a ceremony on the 3rd of May to mark that milestone.
Is this keeping to the schedule that has always been in place since you've entered government?
Yeah, it's hard to... We had a desired timeline. I think we expected to be well in by now. In fact, I think we expected to be wrapping up the whole project by about June this year. That hasn't proved possible once we sat down and did the detailed planning. We had a fair amount of information to go on from the previous government, particularly from Solid Energy. They'd commissioned some good reports. That was a good starting point. We had to commission a lot more expert advice. And then we've worked with a lot of underground experts. Obviously, we've been involving the families very closely in everything that's been happening. But because we want to be absolutely sure, and safety has been the number one priority, we've gone at a pace that makes sure that we can do that. We can comply with our safety requirements. We've had to get a lot of other technology in and drill extra boreholes, things like that. All of that is time consuming. So while this is later than we had anticipated a year ago, it is the right pace, I think, and it is keeping people safe, and that's what we have to do.
Are you confident everything's going to go to plan from here on in?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent you can plan it, it's always a question about what happens once you get in there. And so the approach will be taking is a very staged approach. It'll be kind of a 40-metre section by 40-metre section. We've got about 2.2 kilometres of the tunnel to recover. There's gear in there that has to be taken out. So Russell Smith, who was one of the survivors of the original explosion, has a drift runner. The vehicle that he was on is stuck down there somewhere. That has to be pulled out. Since the explosion and the tragedy, various other devices have been sent in to see what's going on. None of them have come out. They all got stuck or broke down or whatever, so that stuff's got to come out. And then, of course, there is if something is found that's of significance, then that has to be treated properly, treated forensically. So all those things will slow things down. The head of the Pike River Recovery Agency, Dave Gawn, his prediction or projection is that we will have fully recovered the drift by about September. That seems realistic to me, but you just don't know because you don't know what's down there that we might stumble across.
Yeah, and I certainly hope that everything does go to plan, be really good. I'm sure the whole country would love to see this issue, concluded for the family's sake especially, but also just, it's such a
a landmark event in the last few years. Something else that I wanted to talk about, which interests me a lot as a law student, is this proposal I've seen for a new specialist court for young adults with neuro disabilities. What would that actually entail?
Yeah, this is like the way the courts have been going in recent years is to accept that, you know, every offender who comes before the court is not the same, and there are some offenders whose offending is largely driven by a whole bunch of factors going on in their brain. Some of it is congenital, some of it is acquired through the journey of life. So a young person who's been the victim of family violence, who's been beaten and had a head injury, even though that might have not been diagnosed, can be expected to respond to, you know, events in their life in a certain way, sometimes with violence. Equally, somebody who's a victim of fetal alcohol syndrome is going to be expected to respond in certain ways. So the courts are becoming much more sensitive to this now. We've got the what we call therapeutic courts. We've got the alcohol and other drug treatment court that's in pilot phase at the moment. The next court that the judges have suggested would be useful, is particularly for young offenders, is a court that respects and understands that some young offenders have neurological issues that the court ought to take account of, and if only to give that young person some assistance to deal with issues they've got so that they're not reoffending again. So the Chief Youth Court Judge, Judge Walker, has put this paper together. It's been backed by the Chief District Court Judge, because the Youth Court is a division of the District Court. I've seen the paper. In principle, I think it's a great idea, because I think this is the way we're going. But we'll have to make some decisions about resourcing and timing and what have you, and you know, how quickly, if we do approve a trial, that we can roll it out across the rest of the country. So I think it's definitely something well worth exploring and pushing forward on.
Do you think the justice system is failing some young people?
I think to the extent that the system, even in its current form, fails to deal with the causes of a lot of people's offending, particularly young people, then yeah, it can't possibly be doing its job. If you're a victim of crime and it's a young offender, of course you want there to be some accountability, and you want the young person to kind of shape up and understand the harm they've caused and the impact they've done. That's understood. There's another aspect, which is you want to stop that young person offending again. And if there's things going on in their lives or in their mind that are causes of that offending, then we've got to have a system that understands that and actually gets to the bottom of it. And we just don't have that at the moment. So there will be young offenders going through the system. The fact that, you know, you get adult prisoners who've been through the courts over many years, including the youth court, and nothing has changed for them, that tells you the system is not responding effectively. And we should see reoffending and the ultimate kind of graduation of a young offender into an adult offender who then goes into prison as a failure of the system, because whatever the system has done, it hasn't responded effectively to change that person's behaviour and give them assistance where that is required.
Keeping within your justice portfolio, there has been a second review of the Evidence Act that's been tabled in the past week. Can you tell me, what did that actually discuss?
Yeah, this is a long scheduled review of the Evidence Act. The Evidence Act came in 2006. It was reviewed after its kind of first 5 years of operation, and then after another 5 years, it was reviewed again. So it's that second review. And it highlights some issues that can be improved. It says that by and large, the Act is doing what it was intended to do. I think what it highlights is that there are some provisions in the Act that judges have been slow to utilise. And one of those is, you know, the way evidence is provided in or given in cases and trials involving sexual violation. So I think it's called for some improvements in there. It says that the courts can and should be more sensitive to tikanga Māori, so make sure that particularly where there are Māori victims and offenders, is that tikanga is being observed to the best extent possible in court processes. And in relation to sexual violence cases, it picks up was from its last report to say that there is more improvement needed to make sure that victims aren't re-traumatised through the trial process.
From having studied the Evidence Act a little bit in class, it certainly does seem like quite a robust piece of legislation. I mean, it's very detailed, and compared to the previous system, it's certainly an improvement. Are there generally concerns that people raise about how it operates at the moment?
I think the most common concern that gets expressed to me is that the one where you've got vulnerable witnesses, whether they're victims or they're just witnesses to offending, but who are young or maybe have a disability of some sort, that they're not easily catered for when it comes to giving evidence. I think very young victims, children in particular, who are required to give evidence and for whom, the court is a foreign and difficult environment for most adults. If you're a child and you're trying to grapple with a very adult set of processes and concepts, it's just an almost impossible task. So the idea that child witnesses get some sort of communications assistance so they understand what they're being asked, they understand what's being asked of them, is, I think, a measure we have to consider very carefully.
Minister, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Drew.
Talk again soon. Cheers.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.